Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth as we continue our study, really, of the life of David here in 1 Samuel. We talked a bit yesterday about David spending time in the wilderness of Paran. He actually changed. He was constantly on the move, John. He knew he couldn't stay in any one place long because he couldn't trust Saul. And even though Saul made that deal with him last chapter and said, okay, David, you're right, I'm wrong, David knew that. And you have to wonder, John, we didn't mention this last episode, but you have to wonder now with the death of Samuel, who would be a restraining influence. You have to think, is David thinking, this is just going to give Saul more incentive to do what is wrong, not what is right?
Yeah, Samuel definitely was a great light in the land of Israel, and he was respected by all the people. And so you have to wonder what David does think now that Samuel is gone, for sure.
Yeah, Samuel is a really symbolic of the communication of God's word. And anytime God's word is diminished, evil is augmented. And no doubt David understood that. So David has made a new home, so to speak, at least temporarily, and he has sent out 10 men to make a request of this evil man by the name of Nabal. The Bible says in verse 8, ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, here's the request that David is making, give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. So they did exactly what David told them to do. Go to Nabal, ask for a gift. We're needy. This is for David. We could have just taken it, but we're not going to do that. We're going to do the right thing. All of that, verse number 10, and Nabal answered David's servant and said, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. In other words, he's just one of a bunch of people that have rebelled against their boss, that have quit their job. You know, he's a nobody, and why in the world would I think of honoring his reputation or his request?
You know, this is just so ridiculous for Nabal to say this. David would have been a man who was respected by a lot of Israelites still yet. He was a man who had followed God, who had served God. And Nabal, though, is just a harsh man. And so he doesn't want to help anything with David. And as you said, he just insults David. He adds insults to injury. Not only am I not going to give you food, but David's just a rebel. And he needs to get back where he needs to be with his master.
David is still the hero of Israel. Everybody knows that he killed Goliath. Everybody knows about his exploits for Saul. But apparently the political narrative, the national narrative now, because Saul controls the press, Saul controls the communication, and there's not real-time information back in those days. So what has Saul done? Saul has carefully and strategically disseminated information across the nation that David is a rebel, that David has betrayed the kingdom, and some have bought into this. And there's nothing new under the sun. You know, the political machinations that we see 3,000 years ago, we're seeing today as people spin narrative for their political agenda. It's so maddening to see this repeating generation by generation.
It is a really sad indictment upon how people sometimes listen to things that they should know are not true if they would think through the issue, but they just listen to what's being said. Now, I have known people who told me before, even if it's wrong, if you just say the same thing often enough, over and over again, people will begin to believe it. Well, that's just propaganda. That's not truth. And here, as you mentioned, Saul has had this propaganda machine for a long time now. He has been saying people are against me, everybody's against me, and David's against me. And Nabal, for sure, is following what Saul says.
So Nabal's response is one of dismissal. His response is one of, well, to his character. It's churlish. It's harsh. It's evil. We know that already about him. And even if you had never read the story, having seen the description of Nabal, you probably could have anticipated this response. Look at verse, and I'll say this. I know I'm digressing a bit, but a person's response to a legitimate request of need tells me a lot about that person. So the servants have gone in David's name and say, we represent David in this request, and the servants have been rejected. Now, those servants need to understand that they have not been rejected. David has been rejected. They've gone and made a request in David's name. And the reason I point that out is because Jesus has used this exact same logic with his followers to say, you represent me. You go out in my name. You represent my gospel, my good news, and you share it. When people reject you because you're going in my name as the son of David, you are not, they are not rejecting you, but they are rejecting me because you are going in my name.
It is a great thought about our Lord and Savior and how we are to look as we follow him. And when people, if we are following Christ and people treat us harshly, we must always remember that it really is not us that they're upset with, but it's with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just the messengers.
Verse number 11, shall I then take my bread? Nabal goes on to say, and my water and my flesh that I killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be. What's the repeated word in that verse, John?
My.
Yeah, that like, I'm not going to share my stuff, my flesh, my what I've worked for, my shearers, my, really, he's got a real sense of pride here, doesn't he? That this belongs to me, and why would I share it with you? This is faulty for two reasons. Number one, even if it were yours in the sense of autonomy, that still doesn't preclude you from sharing. And number two, a deeper question is, but Nabal, it's not yours. God has blessed you, and you need to recognize that not have I gotten, but what I received. He doesn't see either one of these issues, does he?
He surely does not. Very selfish that man that he is. His reaction to his possessions reminds me of the man Jesus talks about who had a bumper crop and said, I know what I will do. I'll build me greater barns and have all my stuff. And Jesus said, you know, thy fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. When people emphasize material possessions and that's what they live for and that is their focus, it is a sad way to live, really.
Really, my friends, not one of us is an owner in the true sense of the word ownership. God owns everything. Sometimes we get the idea, well, you know, we give God his part, you know, the tithe or whatever, you know, the system you use for giving. But the point is, no, God owns everything and we own nothing. But everything we have is something that God has entrusted to us so that we can use it for him. So we own nothing, but we manage everything for him. That's what stewards do. And the primary quality of a steward is faithfulness. I want to be faithful to the heart of the one who owns it. But we see none of that in the wicked heart of Nabal. Look at verse number 12. So David's young men turned their way, went again, and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. So David's response is, I mean, it's knee-jerk. It's like, okay, if I try to be Mr. Nice Guy, I tried to make this request, but we're going to go get what we can get now. Let's go fight. And I don't know that I can recommend this this response from David, but humanly speaking, I have a hard time arguing with it.
That is for sure, Pastor. What David does is the natural human response to being treated like this whenever you've done nothing wrong. David is not using a lot of wisdom here, but this reaction is what people often have today when people mistreat them. And often when we are mistreated, it's easy to have the same kind of response. We may not strap on a sword. We're not going to go shed blood, but we can metaphorically strap on a sword when people treat us wrong, and we can lash out at them with the wrong thinking.
And this was not the right response. And what we're going to find in the ensuing episodes is that David needed somebody to come alongside at an angry moment and help him to see the error of his ways in a way by which he would both save his own reputation and do what was right for the people that he was leading. And we're going to delve into that next episode. I did want to make a point about what David did in this battle, he sent out 400 men armed. He left 200 men home to abide by the stuff, to watch over the supply. And we find another example of that in much later in David's life, when David came back to Ziklag and the Amalekites had taken the city and had taken, kidnapped the families, the wives and children of the men. And they chased after the Amalekites and they left some back. I want to say it was 200, but with the stuff. And there was an argument among the men that actually went and fought the battle that, hey, why should these people that didn't fight get part of the spoil of the battle? And David taught an important principle that day, and that is that those that stay by the stuff and those that fight are equal in the battle because they're both doing their job. One job is more flashy, I'm out fighting the battle. Another job is maybe more dull, I'm sitting home watching the stuff and probably nothing's going to happen. But both were necessary, therefore both should be rewarded. And there are a number of applications that we can make to modern ministry just with that one principle.
Yeah, there sure are, Pastor, how that everything that is involved in church work, in church life, everything that we do in ministry, everything's important. And whether, you know, you're holding the door, cleaning the facility, working the nursery, preaching on the pulpit on the stage, whatever you're doing, it all is important in the work of God. And I love what you pointed out, how that David emphasized this important principle in life, that no matter what your task is, we're all part of the same team, and the whole team is necessary doing what they need to do to adequately do what God has called us to do.
I see the same principle applying even to the way that we conduct missions. You know, some are armed and ready to go, taking the sword of the Spirit, going out to virgin territory to advance the cause, fight the battles of the Lord, so to speak, as soldiers of the cross. And yet some have to stay by the stuff. Some have to be the curators of the resources that God has provided, lest we lose them. So it's a great principle. I don't want to read too much into it and certainly don't want to be dogmatic where the Bible is silent, but I think there's enough there to make that to reiterate that principle, especially when we see it reiterated later on in David's life. So hope that helps you today as well, my friends. We're going to stop there in verse number 13. We're going to come back to what was the dynamic in the story? Because at this point, it looks as if David's request has been denied, so might makes right. I'm going to go get what's mine. That's not what happens. And because God uses one wise person to kind of stand in the gap, we'll talk about her next episode. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.